Well, I am glad to be here with you all this morning. I am a born and raised Texan, so it's always good to come back home. Now, hey, praise God for that. Now, I joke, I hope there's no animosity because I'm not from Houston. I have cousins that live in Houston, but I'm actually from Dallas, all right? So, but don't hold it against me. The blood of Jesus unites us, right? One of my jokes is, too, that I am a Texan still through and through. I am trying to keep my Texas accent as a Miami pastor, but I am a South Floridian in one aspect when it comes to the weather. Once it drops below 70, it's now cold to me. Now, I will say I have adapted to being a Miami pastor when it comes to the weather, but I'm always good to come home and be here in Texas. And to share this time with you all, I have a love for Champion Forest. I, as pastor of the Rock Fellowship Church in Miami, I've had the privilege of knowing Dr. Stevens, Dr. Jarrett, my brother, for some years. We took some Master Divinity classes together at Southwestern, and just to know his heart when it comes to the mission of God, when it comes to disciples, making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. He was a part of me even answering the call to go back to Miami to plant a church in which I had told God no for about a year and a half. And I followed up with Jared, and he said, hey, we just waiting on you, because the Lord already said it. And so God basically made me call mercy. You know, he bent back, said, it's time to go. And so I'm grateful. One of my major claims of fame is my wife and our children. Typically, she will travel with me, but we've had so much going on. So just keep her in prayer with the kids. We have 7 children, y'all. And so it's been busy lately, too. And so I was like, you're going to stay with the kids and I'll relax. No, that's not what I said, but she does like to make these trips with me, so she sends her regards. And I did promise a couple on the plane. I sat next to an older, lovely couple, love the Lord, Joe and Debbie from Lafayette, Louisiana. They love the Lord, and they wanted me to tell Champion Forest, good morning, hello, and they're praying for you. I had a blast talking with them on the plane ride here. And it is an honor for me to share the word of God with you all this morning, because being a church part of CF Connect, I want you all to know how important it is that the work Champion Forest is doing when it comes to CF Connect, and how you are impacting lives for the cause of Christ in places you don't even probably even think about, in ways you probably haven't even imagined. And I'm glad to be able to stand here before you today as a church planter in Miami to share the word, so you may know that the word of God is going forth and there is a gospel witness in places in which you are a part of, even when you don't realize it. Your giving, your support, your prayers, your training, the resources and gifts God has given you as you support and pour into CF Connect is impacting lives, not only just in America, but even with a church like ours that is very multi-ethnic, that has a lot of countries represented. You're impacting lives around the world. And so I want you all to know that. And I say thank you as a church planner and part of CF Connect. And I encourage you, continue to support, because God is doing some amazing things. Before we dive into the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And we're going to dive into a few familiar verses in Matthew chapter 5. So let's pray. Let's go to the Lord, and then we'll go to His Word. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to open your Word. We know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that live in areas around this world that do not have the privilege and the luxury to gather publicly under the banner of Jesus Christ, that it is illegal in certain places for them to open up the Word of God and read it. So, Father, may we never take for granted moments like this, where we can read your Word, grow in your Word. And I pray that your Spirit move in such a way that your word takes root in our minds and in our hearts, that it may bear the fruit that you have purposed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll read a few verses in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14. And it reads, these are Jesus' words. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In 2005, when I was with the Minnesota Vikings, I had an injury on my finger in which it required surgery. I had a torn tendon, and I met with hand specialists, and they told me if I want to be able to bend my finger properly, I need to get this surgery. And so I'm blessed to have a mother who's a registered nurse. I said, Mom, I want you to come up here, and I want you to make sure these doctors treat me well and do what's right. So she, like a good mother, flew on up to Minnesota, and she stayed with me. Now, what was interesting was, I got the surgery, and they gave me a lot of medication. They didn't put me out, but it had me in this real groggy state. And they put me in this contraption after the surgery, and they sent me back home. And I had to keep my hand above my heart for a day just to minimize swelling. And then they had a plan for me, you know, for rehab. So I go, and I get to the house, and I lay down, and I pull the curtains, pull the shades, and I'm just wiped out from the whole experience of this surgery. And I tell my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to go ahead and take a nap, and I'll get up a little later for dinner. So I go to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I'm asleep, and I feel this hand come over my nose and my mouth. Now, I have watched enough movies to know that if somebody's putting a hand over your nose and mouth, they don't want you to breathe, and they're trying to take you out. So what I do, I jumped up and I started kicking and I'm punching with my left hand and I'm yelling, Mama, because I'm thinking somebody's going to rob us. Somebody's trying to get us. But I'm swinging and kicking and punching and missing. I'm not hitting anything. And I'm like, I thought I could fight. You know how I'm missing all these, you know, every kick and every punch. But I'm hitting nothing but air. And I jump out of the bed and I go and I flip the light switch on. I'm looking around. I see nobody in the room. So remember, I watch a lot of movies. So I start looking under the curtains. See if I see shoes. I'm under the bed, you know, I'm looking and I'm like, hold on, nobody's. And I go out the room, my mom's waking up and she's like, what's going on? Because I slept way past dinner and it's in the middle of the night. I'm like, Mom, somebody's in the house. And she's like, no, everything's locked up. Nobody's in here, just us right now. And I'm like, look, I know they doped me up with all that medicine, but I know what I felt. I know what I experienced. There was a hand came over my face and my mouth. And my mom said, baby, it's the medicine. Just go back to sleep. So I go lay back down, and I was feeling so confused because I was like, look, I know that wasn't a dream. I can tell the difference between a dream and reality. And I know this hand came over my face. And as I was laying there and I rolled over, this hand that I had in this contraption, my fingers swept across my face. And I didn't feel it on my hand, and I realized, oh, it was my hand that just fell over my face. And then I thought, I said, man, I wish we had a video camera here because we could win some money on America's Funniest Home Videos. Because I look like a fool punching and screaming in that room by myself. But the issue was this. This is what the issue was. The issue was, see, I had an experience that was in total darkness in which I was confused. Meaning, I believed a lie to be totally true. My belief, and you couldn't tell me otherwise, that someone was in there trying to harm me. But I didn't know truth until I flipped on a light switch. And once the light switch was flipped, I now, because of the light, I could see truth. I could see reality for what it truly was. Nobody else was in there. But the darkness and my experience brought about confusion and distortion. And I believed a lie to be true. Why? Because there was no light. In this passage we just read in Matthew chapter 5, it's Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. What's interesting about this passage is that I want you to lean in because I want you to listen to what's actually happening and occurring in this message, because there's a great crowd that's coming to hear Jesus. And what he does, he takes an opportunity to speak to his disciples in the hearing of the crowd. So what we just read is not to the crowd. What we just read in Matthew chapter 5, in that short part of the Sermon on the Mount in verses 14 through 16, is something that Jesus is saying directly to his followers, but he wants the crowd to hear what he has to say to those who follow him. Now, why am I stressing this? I'm stressing this because today I may have two kinds of people in here. One, I may have committed followers of Jesus Christ. These words he's speaking is to you. But you may be in here and you may not have committed your full allegiance and trust and faith to Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to hear this too. So this message is directly to his followers, but it's in the hearing of those who have some interest and want to hear a little more about what Jesus has to say. And he's just told them, he's gone through the Beatitudes, he told them they're the salt of the earth. Some people, I had a professor that had us write a sermon using both of these, and he said, really, it's two different sermons. And I said, I agree, because this sermon going to be an hour if you're going to preach verse 13 along with 14 through 16. He says, you're the salt of the earth. And then he gives a different illustration. He gives a different metaphor that speaks a specific way in which we, in our times, in this season of life, is pivotal to what Christ is calling us to do and be. And he says, you are the light of the world. See, today's message is let it shine, because he tells his disciples that you are the light of the world. And he's letting them know how important, as disciples, your presence is. When we think about presence and its impact, my wife taught for a number of years, and I love to go in, and because of my athletic background and the impact it had on my life when having former athletes come speak to teams, I like to go speak to high school teams and middle school teams. I like to go speak to classes and talk about life skills and decision making and things like that. And so I would go speak to her classes. But then also, sometimes I just had the privilege of just going and having lunch with my wife while she was at school. And so one day I go up and I have lunch with my wife, and I'm sitting in class, and my wife wanted to play a joke. And the joke was she was going to make the kids think she was out and there was a substitute. So I sat at her desk with all her stuff, and she hid behind the door. And as the kids came in, they saw me, and you saw their faces light up. They're like, yeah. You know what, they got excited, right? Substitute, free day. I'm not doing anything. Sub. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Have a seat. How you doing? How you doing? And this one girl walked in, and she looked at me, and she literally looked right at me. We made eye contact. She looked at me and said, yes. And I was like, oh, she don't want to do anything today. Like, she's good. And as everybody got seated, my wife closed the door and came around, and that same girl went, oh. Now, what I found out was that young lady loved my wife as a teacher, but what she realized and what we all knew, like, there was a different type of impact on the class based off the presence of the real teacher versus the substitute teacher. If you're a sub, no offense. I've been a sub too, but we all know. When the real teacher shows up, that presence changes everything. When Jesus says, you are the light of the world, he's speaking something that is profound when it comes to the disciples' impact on the world in regard to your presence. He says what you are and where you are. You in this world. He's placed you in this world, and the purpose is that you shine, not that you hide, not that you remove yourself. Like, one of the things that we study when you go to seminary and you're in a Master of Divinity degree plan, there's a class you take, and you take some things on church history. There's also, if you go to one of the Baptist seminaries, you take Baptist heritage. And there's this one part of history, even in our own country, where it talks about somewhat, and I'm going to call it this great exodus, where a lot of the Bible-believing, what we call evangelical body of Christ, kind of separated themselves from the world and created their own subculture. Now, it wasn't totally bad, but what started to happen was we removed our presence from places that God actually wants us to be placed in. And once we've removed our presence, whatever, we've left people in total darkness, because he says we are the light of the world. Now, it's important for us to understand, what is Jesus saying when he says the light of the world? For my Bible readers, you may be, I don't want you confused. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus says that. So what does this mean that Jesus says he's the light of the world, but then he's saying his disciples are the light of the world? This is what he's communicating. Jesus is the supreme revelation of the Father. You cannot know God unless you know Jesus. If you want to know God, you have to get to know Jesus. And what does that mean for him to tell disciples of the light of the world? Meaning, we as representatives of Jesus, as committed followers of Christ, make God known because we make Jesus known. And this is vitally important because Paul picks up on this in 1 Timothy in chapter 3 when he told Timothy, he says that the church, talking about the body of Christ, is the pillar and support of truth. Meaning, we as the light, as we shine, we dispel darkness and we make the truth of God known. You know what that means? That means people around you don't get to know God unless you are present. You know how big that is? Think about this. God has decided in his omniscience, being all-knowing, all-powerful, he says, hey, I want you because I want you around these people because I want them to get to know me through you. How dare we be so selfish, like, I don't like those people, I'm not going over there. He says, you're the light of the world. If you want to see more godliness around, then you need to be around. Because they need to experience godliness. They need to experience what it means to be Christ-like in word and deed by experiencing you. Notice I said word and deed, not you just saying it, but also displaying it. Your presence is huge, and I want you to think about the impact. I can use all kind of ideas. I have seven children. About half of them scared of the dark. I got grown people in here. You still scared of the dark. You might not want to admit it, but they like, you know who you are. You keep the bathroom door just kind of cracked with the light on. I know, I get it. It's always baffling that, like, one of the little ones coming out, Daddy, I need the nightlight. And I'm like, no, you don't. The light, it doesn't change anything. It's nobody's in there. And I'm like, look, Jesus got you. Go in that bed. No, they don't get that when they're little. So I said, look, if you don't make sense, think about it. If somebody come in this house, Daddy gonna beat him up. Then I get real mad. I say, I need you to be more scared of me than you are the darkness. Get back in that bed. Don't you come to this room anymore. but it's this presence. That little one little nightlight changes everything. It just gives us comfort. Well, it just feel like I can see. I can know around. Truth can be manifested. It gives us comfort. I mean, presence, like, people will get to know the Lord if we embrace our presence being specific under God's intention. And Jesus really strengthens and heightens this understanding because what he says, look, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on its stand. You know what he's saying? He said, your presence is important, but you know what? Your position in this is strategic. Meaning, the disciples' position is strategic. There's a reason that you are where you are, where you work, where you live, where you play, where your extracurricular activities, your clubs, your neighborhood, your family. All strategically placed. And you know what? Can't be hidden. As much as you want to hide, can't be hidden. You know, and I want you to think about it's all specifically placed to be seen. If you walk into a room and you're looking for a clock to see what time it is, you know where you don't look? You don't look under the table. You don't look under a chair. Why? If somebody did that, that's incompetence. Nobody can see that. Well, you put it up where it can be seen. You know, when you're driving and you're looking for directions, you look at signs, they place them where they can be seen. This is problematic. This is when you know they don't want you around. There's a small, kind of rich city in Miami called Coral Gables. And the signs, if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never been, when I first started driving there, and I was like, hold on, I don't know where I'm going. And this was pre-GPS. I'm dating myself from my young people in here. And you had a GPS. But then it was MapQuest. You print it out, look at it. And I'm like, I don't see the streets. And what it is, they have these like marble, like 1 foot high signs on the ground. And I'm like, oh, they don't want us here. They don't want you driving around. Like, unless you live here, you don't know who's looking down there. Like, who, like, what? Because you put signs up to be seen. When Jesus makes this statement, a city set on a hill can be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but they put it on a stand so that it may give light to all who are in the house. He's stressing this point that where you are and in the time of which you've been placed is strategic by the Lord himself. And its purpose is that you be seen, that you be experienced. Don't hide. You know, and I understand this. I have a wife. I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. Fellas, for my young single men, this is like a little extra, just a little extra something with a wife when she can do her own hair. There's somebody looking at me like that. Because you know how much hair dudes cost? Oh, my goodness. My wife went to the beauty shop, and she came back and told me how much it cost. And I was like, we're going to have to figure something out. Like, I'm going to have to learn because we can't afford hairdos all the time. You know, like, this out of our budget. You know, so thank God most times she does her own hair. Now, if she does go to the beauty shop and she gets her hair done, you know what happens? We're going places. Well, folk going to see this. They're going to see it. They're going to enjoy it. They're going to get to experience it. You know where we're not going? We're not going to the beach. We're not getting in the water. We're not going swimming. We're not going to wash it out. We're going to maximize it as long as it'll stay. You want to go out and it's nice. You're not putting on a hat. I see ladies with nice hats on. You're not putting on a hat. Why? This is going to be seen and enjoyed. Why? Because we pay for this. It's purposeful. Jesus says a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. He's saying where he's placed you again, on that job, in that family, in that club, he's placed you there. And you know what? You can't hide. If you're a committed follower, you can't hide. I remember I experienced that. I remember one time, I'm going to be real transparent. Like, I've never smoked anything, and the reason is because I got asthma. I mean, just I'm going to be straight up. Even before I knew Jesus, I didn't smoke nothing, because I know what it feels like not to be able to breathe. You know, so, but I remember one day we had a couple of teammates. They used to smoke this thing called Black and Miles, and they made it look so cool. So one day I just put one in my mouth. Dude was like, man, you don't even look right with that. He snatched it out of my face. You don't even look right. Now, reason I was a committed, sold out follower of Jesus at this point in my life. Even if I tried to do something, go somewhere, my teammates like, man, you don't even sound right talking like that. DJ, stop. Well, because it just came off of me. And I grew to embrace who I was in Christ. This is a call and a charge by Christ to embrace the positioning that he has given you. He has strategically placed you where you are to be seen. Don't hide your commitment to Christ. Don't hide your allegiance to Christ. There are folk that want to see it. I heard a testimony once by a guy who had committed his life to Christ, and he had gone to work and he was so excited, and he was telling his coworkers about how he had committed his life to Christ, and his boss heard it, and his boss came in to his office privately and told him, he said, hey, I heard about you coming up to the Lord. I too am a Christian. And the employee went off on the boss, fussed at him. The boss was like taken back, like, why are you yelling at me? He said, man, I wish you would have told me years ago you were a follower of Jesus. I've been chasing your life and thinking I could have the joy and all the things you have in life by working hard and doing a good job at work. I didn't know it was because you knew Jesus. Why you didn't tell me about Jesus a long time ago? And the boss was like taken back, like, wow, I maybe need to be a little more upfront with who I'm with. You've been strategically placed. Embrace that. But it's the last thing Jesus says is, he says what? He tells you why. It's not put under a basket, but it's put on a stand that it may give light to all who are in the house. And then he says this, verse 16. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before everyone so that they may see your good works and give you glory. Is that what he said? No. He didn't say, I want you to be the bomb. So people are like, I want to be like her. I want to be like him. I want that life. I want that kind of luck in life. No, he says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, when a painter paints a masterpiece, you know what the last thing they do on it? They sign it. Well, so when you look at it, it ministers to you. You know, some people, they look at a painting and it'll like bring you to tears. They look at a painting and it stirs up joy and put a smile. Some people look at, they can look at a work of art and they get pumped up to act and do things. Like it ministers to them. It stirs them up, and then you read it and you'd be like, man, Da Vinci is off the chain. You know, he's gonna get all the credit. You know, Michelangelo, man, Van Gogh is good. You know, the artist gets the credit for the art and the impact it has on you. That is God's intention. But as people experience us who are committed followers of Christ, who make the truth of God known, who put on display the love, the holiness, the righteousness, the justice, the encompassing, even encouragement in the faith, as we display and show Christ-likeness to our neighbor as we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. He's saying that this is your mission. This is what I'm calling you to do, disciple. And I'm calling you to do it not so that people want to be like you, but so when they look at you, they see my signature and be like, man, I want to know that God. I want to know this God that you talk about. I got to get to know this Jesus. Because if Jesus can do that with you, I know Jesus could do it for me. If Jesus did that for you, because I know you crazy, then Jesus is also able even in my life. See, the goal is that God be glorified, not us. This is the disciples' purpose, to give and bring glory to God by making him known in a world of darkness. But you know one of the frustrating things about it is that you think about, you ever need to write something down and you grab a pen and it starts writing and then it stops writing? Like, isn't that so frustrating? You pick up a pen, you start writing, like, and you start tapping it. You might lick the tip and you start scribbling and then start writing and then go out and you're like, I'm looking for a pen, I need a pen. Because pens, the purpose of a pen is what? To write. You know, it needed to work. You're like, an inconsistent pen is irritating to everybody. An inconsistent follower of Christ can be so irritating because people have this distortion of who is Christ. I don't know. You're putting on Christ-likeness over here, but then over here, it's just like the world. And it brings this distortion and confusion. And then a lot of people reject following Christ, and they're rejecting a false Christ because of oftentimes our failure to put Christ on display. He calls him, he says, look, I want you to walk in your purpose, and that is to shine so that our Father in heaven be glorified. You know, I'm a bit of a nerd. You know, I just like learning stuff. I like just all kinds of things. I was joking with Pastor Morris. I said, you know, man, if you want to geek out on Marvel superheroes, I'm your guy. If you want to talk football, I'm your guy, you know. You want to geek out on New Testament, Koine Greek, I'm your guy, you know, I just whatever. And so one of the things when you're learning in science, you start to learn about the solar system, right? And it's pretty cool when you look at God's design. You know, we're the third rock from the sun. You know, the TV show helped me remember that. We're the third planet, you know, from the sun. And we have this, and there's a YouTube, you can look on YouTube, there's a video documentary called A Privileged Planet that talks about, you know, even how strategically placed the Earth is. Like, if we just move like one iota towards the sun, it'd be too hot, no life could be on the Earth. If you move it just one iota away from the sun, it would be too cold, no life on the Earth. It's like, and then even when we're positioned, we can see through our kind of cloak, we can see beyond even in a galaxy where other planets can't even have that vantage point. So it's real cool. You look at how we're placed, even in the solar system. What's also interesting is that we have this rotation. It's So we had these revolutions, you know, in a day, what, 24 hours, right? So it takes us a day to spin around. And, you know, then we go around the sun, too. We go around the sun, so it takes us about a year to go around the sun. So that's how we calculate our years, that's how we do our, you know, our days, all that kind of thing. But what's interesting is that we rotate, there's also this moon that goes around the earth. And it's real cool. And every day you have daytime. For us, it looks like the sun rises in, what side it rises on? The east, right? All right. I'm helping somebody pass a test soon. It's going to help somebody. I'm promise. You rise in the east, and then we look, and it sets on the west. Now, that's, you know, experiential. That's phenomenological language. You know, we see it. But truth is, we're rotating and revolving. So every day, there's a side of the earth that faces the sun. We get all the light. And then, but then throughout the day, we turn, and then our backs to the sun, and then that side is, you know, that side that was in light is in darkness. Now, what's so cool is that the side that's getting all the light, and then the other side that's in darkness, there's this moon that just so happened to be on that side of darkness, and it's not left in complete darkness. Why? Because the moon, it has no power in and of itself. There's no light in and of itself, but it's perfectly made to reflect that light, bounce it on the dark side of the earth. And then when that side that was in the light turns its back to the sun, you know, it's in darkness. But then there's that moon again on that side. And then it's bouncing the light. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. I want you to be some moon Christians. I want you to be a moon Christian. Because every single day, the earth is experiencing darkness. But God has not left it in complete darkness. He has placed us to reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N. And while there's no light in us within our own selves, we shine the light of Christ as we live out the call and purpose that he's given us. So let it shine. Be who God has called you to be. Do what God has called you to do. Go where God has called you to go. When it comes to CF Connect, in your giving and in your support, you are helping the light of Christ shine in places that are in darkness. You are making an impact in ways that you can never imagine. Why? Because we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, he's put us all over the world. In places we think he's not present. As you said, I'm a pastor in Miami. When I say Miami, you think about Jesus? Think about church? No, people don't fly into Miami like, hey man, we're coming here for church. No, they go for other reasons. But you know what? God has not left himself without a witness. So wherever he's placed you, wherever he's called you, wherever and whatever work he's doing in you, your presence is important, your positioning is strategic, and your purpose is that you may shine and be seen so that those who see you may give your Father in heaven all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. Amen? Come on, let's give our God a hand clap of praise right now. I'm going to invite you right where you are to bow your head and close your eyes, and I want to pray. In a moment, I'm going to bring up Pastor Steve. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, for your truth of your word. I pray that we're all stirred up by your spirit all the more to be who you've called us to be. And Father, I ask, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you, that today be the day that they commit themselves to you. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We've all fallen short, and we've all sinned and fallen short. None of us are better than another. But Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy that we may, by faith in Jesus, be called children of God. So if today is the day that someone in here is saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ came into the world, lived a sinless life, he was crucified and raised on the third day for the forgiveness of sins and that by faith in him, we are rescued from God's righteous judgment for our sin, and we are now citizens of the kingdom of God. If you want to know that salvation, then at the end of service, Pastor Steve, he's going to tell you how to respond. He's going to tell you where to go. There's going to be a room. There's some people going to pray for you, but this is not something that we earn or achieve. And you don't do this for anybody else, for a parent or for anybody else. This is between you and the Lord, your creator. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and may you continue to do a marvelous work in and through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.